a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. South Dakota Senate will now come to order. And leading us in our prayer today, please welcome back Reverend Paul Bly of the Resurrection Lutheran Church here in Pier as part of the Pier Fort Pier Ministerium and their gift to us. And our two pages of the day leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our great nation's flag are Marcus Ireland from Alcester and Carissa Guthrie from the great city of Pier.
Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, most holy is your name. May your reign be ushered in among us here today, that your will may be done among us as we seek to be more and more like you. Lord, give every one of us enough to live on, and forgive us when we take too much for ourselves, just as we forgive those who sin against us. Give us a generous portion of wisdom. A little humility wouldn't hurt either. Lord, the temptations of this world are many, even here. Please don't leave us alone to withstand them, but deliver us from evil. For the sovereign power and glory are yours and not our own. May you be praised now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Bradford, Brown, Buell, O'Donnell, Kamak, Curd, Ewing, Ferry, Greenfield, Hager, Haverly, Heineman, Heinert, Holeen, Hunoff, Jensen, Lederman, Monroe, Norstrup, Olson, Omdahl, Otten, Parsley, Peters, Peterson, Rampelberg, Rave, Rush, Soholt, Solano, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Van Gerpen, Valley, and White. Quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal, please.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 28th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Senator Brown, Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We're going to pause right now and welcome you to your state senate, and those especially who are physically here, but also want to greet the individuals who are watching over live stream through our partnership with South Dakota Public Broadcasting or listening too. It's a great privilege, and we've had a busy week, so this session will not be very long today, but would like to take some opportunity now and recognize individuals who are here. We understand, Senator White has told me, that we have the DeSmet fourth graders. I'm going to bet that that's you, right? Fourth graders. That's excellent. You have your teacher, Mrs. Albright. Who is that? Where is she? Oh, thank you for bringing them and all these chaperones. That's incredible. You have a lot of help, right? And Shane Roth, Kayla Anderson, Rita and Daryl Odens, Tracy Schoenfelder, Leanne Stofferin, and Stephanie Sudengay. I'm sure I didn't. How did I do? Okay. It's great to have you here, but especially we want to thank the chaperones and your teacher for bringing you here. And think about becoming a page. You know, it's not that long before you're going to be a junior or a senior in high school. Trust me. And so these pages down here who were saying the Pledge of Allegiance, a few of us were pages, and that's how you get interested in it. So we thank you for being here, and again, we're going to do just a little business today we'll talk about, but we're grateful that you're here and that you had a choice to go over to the House, and you're very, very wise children to be here. At your school, do you have a school nurse? Somebody, if you're not feeling very well, do you have somebody you can go to? Your secretary, yes. Well, sometimes we don't feel very well and get sick, and we have doctor of the day, a doctor who volunteers her or his time away from his or her office. And the people back at the office take care of all the patients, and especially during the winter, they can have upwards to 30 or 35 patients. I mean, it's pretty... Gary, would you tell those people outside to kind of keep it down, please? So you walk outside the door right now and tell them to keep it out. Yeah, that's what you should do. Good. So thank you for being here, kids. But what I want to do is introduce our doctor of the day, who's been pretty busy this time of year. It always is, from Mitchell, where Senator Valley is from. It's Dr. Martin Christensen, and he's a family practice physician at the Mitchell Clinic since 1985. And he got his degree here at the University of South Dakota School of Medicine and did his residency at Fort Bragg. And he's been back in South Dakota ever since. He's a member of the Medical Association and been a leader in that and in the medical community I know personally in the Mitchell region. And his wife is a nurse. So on behalf of the couple of nurses here, it's great to have you here. And especially we see the future is with you, too. You have a fourth-year student that's with you. And that's Abby. Abby Lichter. Have you had the residency match yet, Abby? In March. Well, that's Sunday.
March 20th.
And what are you looking for?
Family medicine.
That's excellent. Well, South Dakota is a great place to come back to if you don't get the residency match here. But we thank you all for being here, but especially Dr. Christensen for taking care of us. And someday, would you violate HIPAA and tell us all about Valley's maladies, okay? Any other personal privileges before we do our business? Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I thought. Just a second, Mr. Thin Mint. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, you know, as we got into these last couple of weeks, obviously the workload picks up a little bit, and maybe sometimes interns aren't able to keep up with everything, and so I thought today I would bring down my oldest daughter, Reagan, to help me out. So Reagan's with me today.
Thank you. Senator Sutton.
So, the investigation is partly completed, but it is still ongoing.
We must interrupt, though, for those who have not watched each show. Senator Sutton, we had Girl Scouts here earlier in the week that gave Senator Sutton and us all Girl Scout cookies. Coincidentally, or to some confusion, he's a Thin Mint fan. We who have to smell his breath enjoy when he eats Thin Mints. But apparently some got stolen, allegedly. So please continue with today's series.
Well, I just wanted everyone to know that by calling the watchdogs out, it actually benefited me because I actually got two boxes of Thin Mints when I'd actually only lost one. Senator Heineman was good enough to give me a box of Thin Mints, and then this one showed up out of the blue. So feel free, if you don't like Thin Mints, I will take them, and then they will also disappear into my belly.
You're a giver. You always have been. Okay. Any other personal privileges? Thank you very much. And we just have a little business to do. Our secretary here needs to read some things open because we didn't have a computer back when we became a state. And so we needed to tell people what we were doing who were sitting up there verbally. And so we must continue to do that to comply with our Constitution and law. So now we're up to item 4, communications and petitions. Thank you, Boots.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I have the honor to inform you that on February 26, 2015, I approved Senate Bill 107, and the same has been deposited in the office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Reports of standing committees, please.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bills 8, 9, 10, 29, 38, 57, 75, 76, 80, 90, and 93 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully, Senator Brown, Chair. The Committee on Appropriations reports that it has had under consideration House Bills 1002, 1042, 1047, 1048, and 1050 and recommend do pass. Senator Peters, Chair. Committee on Local Government reports that it has had under consideration House Bills 1139 and 1165 and recommends do pass consent calendar. The Committee on Transportation reports that it has had under consideration House Bills 1030 and 1124 and recommends do pass, and House Bill 1031 and recommends do pass consent calendar, and the nomination of Darren Burquist to the position of the Secretary of the Department of Transportation and recommends that the Senate do advise and consent to the confirmation and said reappointment. Senator Valley, Chair. And finally, the Committee on Appropriations, no. Sorry, Committee on State Affairs reports that it has had under consideration House Bill 1177 and recommends do pass, House Bill 1064 and 1144 and recommends do pass consent calendar. Report that they had under consideration the nomination of Tom Jones to the Board of Economic Development and returns the same with the recommendation that the Senate advise and consent to the confirmation of said appointment. Also, they had under consideration the nomination of Steve Emery to the position of Secretary of the Department of Tribal Affairs and recommends that the Senate advise and consent to the confirmation of said appointment. And finally, they had under consideration the nomination of James Hagan to the position of Secretary of the Department of Tourism and recommend that the Senate advise and consent to the confirmation of said reappointment and that the reappointment be placed on the consent calendar. Senator Rave, Chair.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Messages, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith HCR 1009, which has been adopted by the House and your concurrence is respectfully requested. I have the honor to return here with SCR 7, in which the House has concurred. And finally, I have the honor to return here with Senate Bills 8, 9, 10, 29, 38, 57, 75, 76, 80, 90, and 93, which have passed the House without change. Arlene Kvislin, Chief Clerk.
Okay, we're on to motions and resolutions. We're going to deal with resolutions here in a bit. Resolutions are debated, but they're subject, obviously, to the vote, but they're not laws. They wouldn't be bills, and it's really to reflect the tenor or opinions of the legislative body if they pass. We take them under motions and resolutions as our order of business. We'll get to bill activity here in a little bit. Motions and resolutions, please.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6. A concurrent resolution to direct the Department of Education to ensure South Dakota students are well-versed in civics and government. Senator Soholt moves that SCR 6, as found on page 392 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
Thank you. Comments on the motion. Good afternoon, Senator Soholt.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. And members of the Senate, I'm just very happy to bring before you Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6, which would highlight civics education in the state of South Dakota. The genesis of this resolution came from the Joe Foss Institute, which is a national institute, and they are doing an initiative right now to spotlight civics education in our nation. It is felt that too few citizens know and understand our basic American civics, how our government works, and who we are as a nation. For example, according to the Pew Research Center, only about one-third of Americans can name the three branches of government, much less say what each one does. What this does is that the Joe Foss Institute is looking at every state in the nation adopting some kind of focus on civics education by 2017, which is the 240th anniversary of the United States Constitution. By us moving forward with this resolution, we would be in the first cohort of seven states to highlight civics education. And it just seems extremely fitting with Joe Foss Institute being named after our former governor and war hero. What we are going to be doing in this resolution is directing the Department of Education to assure that the civics education that would allow someone, a new immigrant into the United States, to pass the immigration test for citizenship, that all of our students would be assured of that knowledge. And this resolution right now is a perfect time for South Dakota because we are currently in revision and looking at the social studies standards in our state, and we do have required government and civics course, which happens for all of our high schoolers in order for them to graduate. So this SCR 6 highlights South Dakota and says that it's important for all of us. You know, personally, I think about most of us sitting in this room, we would have had World War II parents. And so we were really embedded into understanding and knowing about our freedoms and our government and really being at a level of patriotism that I think so many times now is taken for granted. That when we have not been tested, when people haven't had to really suffer and sacrifice, it becomes so easy to take it for granted, all of those things that are important and the fundamental principles upon which our country is based. I ask for permission to read to you the testimony from Representative Jackie Sly, who in the Civics Initiative, because I thought it was so poignant, and even though we will be having our students understand and be accountable for this content, you know, to be able to take a test in their high school years, it's more than that. And what Representative Sly had to say, I could not say better. Does civics education guarantee one will be an active and engaged citizen? Are there things that contribute to being a responsible citizen? It is important to have the intellectual knowledge of our country and the principles that our country was built upon. But head knowledge is not the only thing that contributes to a person being an active and engaged citizen. Think of society today where disrespect and violence are used for entertainment. People in authority are mocked and ridiculed. Children see adults laughing at disrespect. They learn by watching us. Good citizenship is modeled. If parents vote, children notice. If adults stand for the national anthem and expect their children to do the same, children notice. If adults treat the freedoms we have in our country with dignity and not abuse, children learn. If adults express their love for their country and the responsibility it brings, children come to know that same love. Yes, our schools can do their part in ensuring that our students are taught the facts and principles of civics and the responsibilities of citizenship. But it takes modeling and encouragement of adults in the lives of those same students to make sure they have an understanding of what it looks like to be a good citizen. I ask for your affirmation of SC6 for us to be at the forefront of highlighting civics education and all of the principles of freedom that we hold so dearly.
Thank you, Senator Soholt. Further remarks, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I kind of thought about you when you said parents of World War II. How about parents of World War I? But I really, this is great. And I think it's sad, though, that within our state, I taught eighth grade for 22 years. And when my students would come in my class, first thing I did is kind of set up a civics organization and I questioned them from the president clear down to the tribal council. Most of them didn't know, honestly, who the president was. They didn't know who their national representative was. They did not know who the president of their tribe was. They did not know who their councilman was. But I have a great deal of involvement in that area, so before they left my class, they knew all those, and they could pass a test on it. So I really thank her for bringing this. It should go very, very deep into our government for these young students to know. I just can't tell you how much it meant to see those kids go out and then know who was actually in control of their lives, everywhere they went, not just on the reservation, but when they went to Rapid City or whenever they went and where Pier was and what it meant. It's such a big part of their life that's being left out right now, really. There's very little. My grandchildren come home and they can't tell me those things that they should know. So I think this is great. I hope you support.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the Senate is Senator Soholt's motion that SCR 6 be adopted. Those in favor of adoption will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Frerichs? Greenfield?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman excused. Heinert?
Aye.
Holleen?
Aye.
Hunoff?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Norstrup excused. Olson?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Parsley?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Van Gerpen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 32 yeas, 3 excused.
Thank you. Senator Soholt's motion that SCR 6 be adopted, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and SCR 6 is adopted.
HCR 1007, a concurrent resolution opposing the EPA's guidelines to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from existing fossil fuel-fired power plants in a matter that will cause economic harm. Senator Rampelberg moves that the Senate do concur in HCR 1007 as found on page 492 of the House Journal.
Comments on the motion. Good afternoon, Senator Rampelberg.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. Many of you signed on to this resolution, and I know you're familiar with it. But to remind you, HCR 1007 is a concurrent resolution that lists a number of EPA guidelines that negatively impact South Dakotans. Take a look at your light bill as an example. This resolution urges the governor and the attorney general to use every means at their disposal to prevent the EPA guidelines from being implemented. I urge your support.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Rampelberg's motion that HCR 1007 be concurred in. This was a resolution that passed the House, and so the Senator is asking the Senators to approve it as well. And so that's why it's a House concurrent resolution. Those in favor of concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell?
Aye.
Kamak?
Curd?
Aye. Ewing?
Aye.
Frerichs excused. Greenfield?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman? Excused. Heinert?
Aye.
Holleen?
Aye.
Hunoff?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Norstrup? Excused. Olson?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Parsley?
Aye.
Peters? Peterson?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Van Gerpen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 32 yeas, 3 excused.
Senator Rampelberg's motion that HCR 1007 be concurred in, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and HCR 1007 is so concurred in.
Senator Rave moves that HCR 1008 be deferred until Tuesday, March 3rd, the 30th legislative day.
All those in favor of that deferral motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
HCR 1009, a concurrent resolution designating 2015 as the year of remembrance for the centennial since the commencement of the Armenian genocide of 1915 to 1923 in South Dakota, and urging Congress and the President of the United States to formally and consistently recognize and reaffirm the historical truth that the atrocities committed against the Armenian, Greek, and other Christians living in their historic homelands in Anatolia constituted genocide, and to work towards equitable, stable, and durable Armenian-Turkish relations and a fair, just, and comprehensive international resolution of this crime against humanity.
President Pro Tem waives the referral to committee of HCR 1009, and it'll be placed on Tuesday's calendar. First reading of House bills. What do we have? Any?
House Bill 1153 was read on February 26, 2015, and today the President Pro Tem assigns this bill to State Affairs.
Okay, the next is consideration of executive appointments. Under our Constitution, the Senate has the authority and responsibility and duty to consider the executive appointments that the governor has made and to either confirm or not confirm through a process we call advice and consent. We'll proceed with consideration of executive appointments, please.
The Senate proceeds to the consideration of the executive appointment of Melanie Schaap of Perkins County, Meadow, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of Education.
Remarks. Senator Soholt, good afternoon again, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President, and my esteemed colleagues. On behalf of the Senate Education Committee and as their chair, I'm asking for your affirmation of advice and consent of Dr. Melody Schaap as Secretary of the Board of Education. Dr. Schaap got her BS and also her MS in elementary education from the University of Mary in Bismarck. She then went on to further her education in 2008 with a PhD in educational studies and higher education. Over the past 10 years, she has assisted our state and shepherded and guided through on education initiatives, from being the Director of Accreditation Teacher Quality, the Deputy Secretary of Education, the Interim Secretary of Education, and since April of 2011, being our current Secretary of Education. It was pointed out that Dr. Schaap's educational background started in a one-room schoolhouse. And there was testimony talking about coming forward in the digital age of not necessarily if it was all approved or not, but running a phone line through the ceiling tiles and down into a room so they could be one of the first dial-up classes to bring technology into the classroom. There was so much positive testimony about Dr. Schaap's commitment to our children, her approach of looking at objective information, of bringing just her amazing intellect to the conversation, and what a difficult job to try to hold together what we value the most, which is our kids, and the emotion that comes behind education and all the conversations of education, and yet her ability to be gracious, even through heated conversations. As being the chair of Senate Education, I can tell you that she is a tireless worker on behalf of education in the state of South Dakota. She's been available to me for any kind of questions on policy and statute on weekends and early mornings and late at night, and has always been available and graciously considering the multiple options whether or not she would agree. So I would ask for your wholehearted support of the advice and consent of the reappointment of Dr. Melody Schaap to the Department of Education.
Thank you very much, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, do you senators advise and consent to the executive appointment of Melody Schaap as to the position of the Secretary of Education? Those in favor of confirmation will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs, excuse. Greenfield. Hager. Aye. Haverly.
Aye.
Heinemann. Heinert.
Aye.
Holin.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
No.
Lederman.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup. Excuse. Dolson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Rush.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 31 yeas, 1 nay, and 3 excused.
The question, does the Senate advise and consent to the executive appointment of Melody Schaap to the position of Secretary of Education, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and her appointment is so confirmed. Okay, we have our consent calendar, which is a calendar of unanimous votes out of committee. We have two parts of that today, but that's not subject to debate, just questions. So in other words, there won't be speeches and discussion unless one of the senators wishes to remove it and put it on the calendar for Tuesday. At this point, we have the first part of our consent calendar, and that's executive appointments. Please proceed.
The Senate proceeds to the consideration of the executive appointment of Myron L. Rao to the South Dakota Board of Pardons and Paroles, as found on Senate Journal page 403, and Krista Heron Graber to the South Dakota Interstate Compact for Adult Offender Supervision, as found on page 402 of the Senate Journal.
Senators, any questions on either one of these appointments? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is, do you advise and consent and confirm the executive appointments of Myron Rao to the South Dakota Board of Pardons and Paroles and Krista Heron Graber to the South Dakota Interstate Compact for Adult Offender Supervision? Those in favor of advice and consent will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, call the roll, please.
Bradford. Brown.
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerich. Excuse. Greenfield.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Excuse.
Heinert.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Norstrup. Olson. Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Rush.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 32 yeas, 3 excused.
The question, does the Senate advise and consent and confirm the executive appointments of Myron Rao to the South Dakota Board of Pardons and Paroles and Krista Heron Graber of the South Dakota Interstate Compact for Adult Offender Supervision, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed, and both of those appointments are confirmed. We'll move on to consent calendar of bills. Any senators wish to remove any of these bills? Hearing none, please proceed.
House Bill 1122, an act to authorize township boards to designate certain roads as no-maintenance roads. 1097, an act to provide for a reduced minimum fall enrollment for certain school districts. 1100, an act to clarify how a vacancy on a school board is filled. And finally, House Bill 1137, an act to exclude the passing time between classes in the number of hours required in the school term for secondary students.
Thank you. House Bills 1097, 1100, and 1137 haven't received a second reading or up for consideration and final passage. Any questions, senators, on any of these bills? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bills 1122, 1097, 1100, and 1137. Those in favor of vote aye. Those opposed nay. Madam Secretary, rock and roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerich. Greenfield.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heinemann. Excuse. Heinert.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Norstrup. Excuse. Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Rush.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton. Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Bailey.
Aye.
And White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 32 yeas, 3 excused.
Thank you. House Bills 1122, 1097, 1100, and 1137 have received a majority vote of the members elect. Are all hereby declared passed. Any title questions? Titles approved. Second reading.
Senator Rave moves that the balance of the calendar be deferred till Tuesday, March 3rd, the 30th legislative day.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Enjoy the weekend here then, Senator. We'll keep the place open for you. I have a significant number of bills, as you can imagine, to sign, so I won't have you go through that pain and agony if you need to hit the road. So let's do announcements, though, first. Senator Soholt. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Senate Education, 7:45 on Tuesday morning.
Tuesday. Senator Kamak.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
The Senate Ag and Natural Resources, Tuesday morning, March 3rd, room 412, 10 a.m., and we'll have a confirmation and one bill.
Senator Ortiz.
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Judiciary Committee, 8 o'clock, Tuesday morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, feel free, obviously, to be on your way. Safe travels, and we'll see you Tuesday. The Constitution requires... Thank you. Peace be with you. The Constitution requires that the President sign an open session bills that have passed both the House and the Senate and read their title during open session. At this time, the President signing an act to exempt certain transactions entered into by the State Investment Council and Division of Investment from certain procurement requirements. That is Senate Bill 8. President signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the transfer of funds administered by the State Investment Council, Senate Bill 9. President signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the classes of investments used for state funds, Senate Bill 10. President signing an act to establish provisions for auxiliary members to serve on the Board of Pardon and Paroles, Senate Bill 29. President signing an act to revise certain provisions concerning the state communication system and the South Dakota law enforcement telecommunication system, Senate Bill 38. President signing an act to authorize and regulate the playing of craps, roulettes, and keno within the city limits of the city of Deadwood, Senate Bill 57. President signing an act to revise the effective period of the travel permit for certain livestock and for rodeo purposes and declare an emergency, Senate Bill 75. President signing an act to extend the length of time a local livestock ownership inspection certificate is valid for transportation, Senate Bill 76. President signing an act to increase the selling price of a towed vehicle that exempts the seller of the vehicle from certain vehicle dealer licensing requirements, Senate Bill 80. President signing an act to require school district to provide veterans a preference in employment, Senate Bill 90. President signing an act to impose gross receipt tax on the rental of certain motorcycles in lieu of excise tax on motor vehicles, Senate Bill 93. President signing an act to repeal the Foundation Program Fund and references thereto. That's House Bill 1005. President signing an act to clarify the required notice requirements related to continuing contracts that do not apply to employees at post-secondary technical institutes. House Bill 1066. President signing an act to provide for the approval of post-secondary courses for certain non-public school students and students receiving alternative instruction. It's House Bill 1117. President signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the James River Water Development District and House Bill 1217. Okay. Madam Secretary, yes.
Senator Greenfield moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you.